Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us to the edge of life and death, bound by tears of wisdom. Give us this day. Give us the strength to reach out and touch the face.
Not Seen is back on your radio. Good evening. I am Christopher Manti, your host, as always, for the Things Not Seen radio program. Welcome to the Trinity Media Studios, broadcasting live. ConservativeNationRadio.org is my presenter, my friend. You should go there and check us out. Also, the TraditionalAmericanMovement.com, Facebook. We are there, of course, at Conservative Nation Radio. Twitter at CNR Show, and use your hashtag CNR Show and Things Not Seen, and we will see you. So, good evening, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday. I'm with you to explore the wacky, wonderful, wild, terrible, joyous world around us, and I appreciate you being with me. Phone number to call in and join me is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Feel free to call in. However, tonight you'll be you may want to listen. We have a extremely cool extended interview to bring to you in a little bit with Voice of the Martyrs, Todd Nettleton, who's a an executive there with that fantastic, great organization. And I look forward to bringing that to you in three parts. We'll spread it out over the first hour here. And the second hour, we'll dig down into some really, really cool stuff in the news and Bible stuff, little study action, little Star Wars maybe, Super Bowl, who knows what's coming up. Please do stick with us, and I hope you enjoy it. Again, here till 11 o'clock, so while the interview is going on, I won't be able to take your calls, but I won't be able to be on the air, so please wait till that is over. But before then, feel free, 718-305-7176, here till 11. This is show number, this is Things I've Seen, and I appreciate you being here, either live or on podcast, downloading me whenever. I noticed a lot of folks are doing that option, which is fantastic. Definitely cool. So hello to you. Yes, you. I see you there, what you're doing. That's fine. No worries. And so I wanted to kick things off here. Of course, in the news this week, a big deal was this new immigration bill. Was not a bill. This outline of something or other with this gang of whatever, eight people. And I don't think they understand, and it's a shame because you have folks like Marco Rubio on it. You know, I mean, there's people say what they want about John McCain and Lindsey Graham. I like those guys. Definitely not, you know, lockstep with me personally all the time. And this is one of those times where they're not. I don't understand it. They don't. It seems like they just don't get it. There's a huge disconnect. Because one of these issues that would really bring patriotic Democrats into the fold would be this immigration issue. They do not like this cutting the line that's going on. And this, whatever you want to call it, you're going to be forgiven for doing something illegal. That's called amnesty. I don't care what the issue is. You know, if you have a tax liability and you're forgiven for that, it's called tax amnesty. It's just what it is. So they don't really get that, I don't think. And here's my way of putting it, my little parable, so to speak. I drive to work, like most folks. I have a pretty good commute, an hour plus, and it's in one of the worst traffic areas in the nation, Philadelphia region, 476, I-76, all those bad, bad roads. Anyways, so I'm on 476, and I have to get on 76. Normally, it's backed up, the ramp itself. There's so much traffic. You have to be in traffic just to get off the highway. So inevitably and invariably, I'm being a good boy. I'm sitting at the end of the line, and takes you a while to get to the ramp. But yeah, here comes some dudes speeding along the side and zipping, cutting right into the very last second, right before the ramp. And they feel like they can just cut in there and avoid the line. Those people annoy me, to put it mildly. Not only because they shouldn't be doing that, because you cut me off personally, and all these other people who are trying to do the right thing and wait in line. Again, it's not a big moral conundrum. It's traffic. But the point is the same. I'm sitting there waiting my turn, playing by the rules, and there's a bunch of cheaters getting in line. And not only it would be as if normally, obviously, the cops aren't there. That's why they do this. But it would be as if the cops are there on the corner, which they sometimes are. But it would be like they were sitting there watching them do it and did nothing. Said, okay with me, you could stay. You could stay here on this ramp and go to where you want to go. All you other people, screw you. And that's basically what it's about. It's not about the people who are already on the new road. Let's call that America. But the people who are waiting in line the right way, doing it the way they're told, the way the law says you should do it, those are the people who are really paying the price. Because we can't say no more immigration to America. I mean, that's just stupid. But you can say we have a way to do it, and if you don't follow the rules, you can't come in, right? Didn't think this was a huge controversial thing to enforce. But anyway, that's how I look at it. And it's very effective. If you want to use that, steal it, go ahead to your friends and family. Be my guest. And again, this is what a lot of Democrats see also as a problem, because they see it's unfair and it's not right. And, you know, truthfully, a lot of that comes from they're taking American jobs and all this. I don't know. You know, I mean, you can't be an employer and hire illegal people. Sorry, you just can't. You know, all the excuses that you might have for doing it are bogus. And you're cheating everybody that way. So cut it out, okay? I don't care if you're talking about landscapers or hotel management or anything else. Not to be, you know, whatever. That's where a lot of them work. So don't do it anymore. It'd be a lot harder to make a living if nobody pays you, right? Anyway, so that isn't exactly set in stone, of course. They haven't even crafted a bill. This is just some framework that they've agreed to on both sides. Whatever, we'll see where it goes. I mean, I'm not confident that a good result will happen. We'll see. Another thing that happened just today, of course, we've got another embassy was attacked. This time in Turkey. You know, the suicide bombing variety. Thank God it didn't kill a whole lot of people. two of them, looks like, two, I don't know if they're innocent folks or security guards or embassy employees, I don't know exactly, but them along with the suicidal maniac are dead. And obviously, you know, once upon a time we used to say an attack on our embassy is an act of war. Technically, of course, it is, because it's our property, or that's our territory, sovereign. But nobody wants to enforce any of that, so forget it. Now, it's maybe if you're lucky, they'll call it terrorism, which of course it is. So we'll see what happens. Just another result of our weakness around the world. And Syria, of course, is a big deal now. We've got Israel taking care of some business over there. We're not sure what they attacked exactly yesterday. Some kind of either a convoy or a depot or a chemical weapons station, depending on who you listen to. Whatever it is, it's bad news what they did, you know, what they took out. So God bless them. And Syria, I think, is going to get a lot uglier before it gets better. And I'm going to talk about that after 10 o'clock, in a 10 o'clock hour, biblically speaking, because it talks about it. So we should be mindful. Well, you should learn it, number one, what it says, and then we will proceed, and on we go with things not seen. Hey, all you secret members of the Joe McCarthy fan club, you know who you are. Join our own Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, for Radio Free America. Duke lists anti-communist among his hobbies, which is probably why NBC didn't hire him to fly a national network news helicopter. But if you love history, politics, flying, the occasional Whitaker Chambers reference, check out Duke Brooks on Radio Free America. That's Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And we'll be back right after this.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Yes, I am back. Whoever did that was genius. Love it. Love the music. Things Not Seen, please call me. 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176 is the number. I'm Manti, your host, here at 11 o'clock every Friday, 9 to 11 Eastern. Things Not Seen. Thanks for tuning in. Great show tonight, and we're about to embark on a tremendous extended interview with a gentleman named Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs. And instead of telling you all about it, why don't you just listen? And, of course, feel free to take notes. I encourage you to do that. And visit the website that will be given in the interview. It's called persecution.com. There's a giveaway. And again, just be in prayer about this, because it's so, so meaningful to this, the world we live in, and facts on the ground, you know, the situation on the ground is, brutal sometimes, and dark, but at the same time, extremely hopeful and full of light, the light of Jesus. So please pay attention. I hope you enjoy it. And we're going to call this part one of Things Not Seen, interview with Voice of the Martyrs, Todd Nettleton. Enjoy it.
Welcome back to Things Not Seen. This is your host, Christopher Manti. Right now, we have a very special guest with us. This is Todd Nettleton, Director of Media Development for Voice of the Martyrs. Voice of the Martyrs is a Christian charity that I am very involved with myself, but I wanted to have the folks on who run the show to explain to people exactly how important their mission is and what exactly it is, and answer any potential questions you might have as far as, you know, if you wanted to help, what to do. We, again, very much appreciate it. Mr. Nettleton, thanks for joining us.
No problem. It's good to be with you.
Thank you very much. So basically, if someone's never heard of Voice of the Martyrs, what the heck is that? What do you tell them?
Voice of the Martyrs is a ministry to persecuted Christians. We work in more than 50 nations around the world where Christians are persecuted for their faith. And, you know, that persecution varies from Christians who aren't allowed to send their kids to school, Christians who maybe lose their jobs, or they're prevented from getting better jobs, all the way up to Christians who literally are laying down their lives because they're Christian, because they are following Jesus Christ. So our goal as Voice of the Martyrs is to help them and to bless them and to stand with them. And that can be anywhere from providing Bibles or gospel radio broadcasts, gospel television broadcasts, all the way up to helping, you know, the families, if the breadwinner is in jail for being a Christian, helping the family put food on the table, as well as being a voice for them here in the United States and encouraging Christians here in the U.S. to understand what's happening with the persecuted church and to be able to pray effectively and bless them as they live out their own faith here in a free country.
Yeah, that's so important to, you know, realize that you're very fortunate as an American to be where you are. And that the Lord has placed you here in a place where, you know, yes, there are issues and problems that we run into, and there's religious liberty things that are going on right now. But the fact is, we're in the best place you can possibly be in this world. And, you know, our family is scattered abroad and is not in the same place that we are. And that's really important to realize. And if you wanted to, Todd, actually, I wanted to have you talk a little bit about the founder of Voice of the Martyrs, Pastor Wormbrand himself, and how exactly this all got started.
Sure. One of the things really is kind of a key point about Voice of the Martyrs is that our founder, Pastor Richard Wormbrand, was a persecuted Christian. He himself spent 14 years in prison in communist Romania. His wife, Sabina, spent 3 years in a labor camp in Romania because they were Christians, because he was a pastor. And when the government tried to close down the church and co-opt the pastors, he wouldn't go along with it. He spoke out and said, nope, our first loyalty is not to the Communist Party. Our first loyalty is to Jesus Christ. And that stance and his activities that grew out of that stance led 14 years in prison for him, 3 years in a labor camp for his wife, and 3 of his years in prison. He was actually in solitary confinement. He was in a prison cell 30 feet below ground level. So for 3 years, he didn't see the light of the sun. He didn't see another person. They literally opened up a little slot in the door to swap his food in. Other than that, he had no human contact for 3 years. And during that time, the Lord really gave him a vision for a ministry that would help people like him, people who were in prison for their faith, people who were suffering because they followed Christ. And when he got out of Romania, he was actually ransomed out of the country. His ransom was paid by Christians in the West, and the police took him aside and they said, Pastor Wormbrand, you're going to the West. You can talk about God all you want now. Congratulations. But don't talk about us. Don't talk about what we did to you. Pastor Wormbrand got to the West and immediately disobeyed them, did exactly what they told him not to do, and began to share the story, the stories of solitary confinement, the stories of torture, and not only to talk about his own experiences and talk about himself, but to talk about the Christians who were still there, the Christians who were still suffering that persecution and that torture. And everywhere he went, people like you and I think our natural response is, well, we want to help those people. How do we do that? And the Voice of the Martyrs was really his answer to that question. The ministry was founded to be a bridge between the church in the free world and the Christians in restricted and hostile nations that were still suffering that persecution. And at that time, it was predominantly communist persecution. In fact, the ministry was first called Jesus to the Communist World. Today, we think about persecution, and yes, there are still some communist persecutors, but the bulk of our work is now in the Muslim world. That's where the persecution is the most harsh, and that's where the most Christians are facing persecution. So the goals have not changed. The way we go about accomplishing them and the countries where we work have changed over the last 45 years.
That's actually one thing I did want to raise. One of the questions I wanted to ask before we left you was, because I know the history about it, what, you know, and you basically have answered it already, what's the bigger threat to Christians worldwide today, socialism or Islam? And you've answered that with answer B, I think, pretty clearly.
Yeah, I think because communism is somewhat fading, it is less of a threat, and also because the church is growing, not in the communist world as well, but it's especially growing in the Muslim world. And we see some amazing church growth in places like Iran. And, you know, it's one of those interesting sort of chicken or the egg questions. Is there more persecution because the church is growing, or is the church growing because there's more persecution? Because throughout history, we see that as the church grows, there is persecution. But the same is true the other way around. As there's persecution, the church grows. I was just reading the other night in the book of Acts, and it talks about, you know, the church authorities were coming after the disciples, and they had to leave Jerusalem, and so they spread out, and everywhere they went, they shared the gospel message, and new churches were born. So it's one of those, like I say, one of those chicken or egg discussions, because it is sort of a circle. As more people come to Christ, there's more persecution. And as there's more persecution, more people come to Christ.
Yeah, and that, I think they're both definitely true. They feed off each other for sure.
Absolutely.
Because it does help. I mean, you know, if you're sitting on the sideline or, you know, really not sure what to think, or you're a Christian but you're not, you know, you're timid and what have you, if you see this happening to others, it'll embolden you to take action, which is definitely, you know, part of the a great result of one of the positives about persecution in general.
One of the things that really leads to that is the response of a Christ follower to persecution, because, you know, Jesus told us to love those who persecute us, to pray for our enemies. And as we live that out, that's an incredible presentation of the gospel. Several years ago, there were three men who were killed in Turkey, and two of them were Turkish Christians. One of them was a German Christian who was living in Turkey at the time. The day after they were killed, two of them were married. One of them was engaged, but the two men who were married, their widows, the day after their husbands were killed, they were on national TV in Turkey offering forgiveness to the people who had killed their husbands, saying basically the same words that Christ said on the cross, don't hold this against them. They didn't know. They don't know what they're doing. They didn't know what they were doing. And one of the Turkish editorial writers, who is a Muslim, he's not a Christian by any stretch, he said, that television interview, those two ladies offering forgiveness on national TV, did more for Christianity than 1,000 missionaries could have done in 1,000 years.
Yeah.
That was his comment. Simply by showing God's love and offering forgiveness and showing his grace. And there's no, you know, there's no human explanation for that. As human beings, if somebody kills our spouse, our first response is not, man, I love that person.
Yeah.
I forgive them. That's a supernatural thing that God allows us to do, but it's an amazing witness. And as the unbelieving world sees that, as the Muslim persecutors or the communist persecutors see that, that makes them wonder, and it makes them hungry to know God and hungry to know the gospel. So that persecution, as you say, it really does directly lead to evangelism, and it directly leads to people coming to know Christ.
Yeah, there's nothing more powerful than that, to hear a widow say that, and so soon after the fact. It's definitely amazing.
It is, and I actually, 7 weeks after that, I was in Turkey, and I met both of these widows, and one of them, I asked them, you know, as an outsider looking into that situation, I said, how do you do that? How did that happen? How could you possibly, you know, so quickly have worked through that and come to the point of offering forgiveness? And her comment was, that was God, that wasn't me. She said, that was a supernatural thing. She said, not even for one moment did I have hatred or anger for the men who killed my husband. But she said, that's not me. I don't take any credit for that.
Right.
That is God did that supernaturally. And I think that's what all of Turkey saw, because that was on national TV. All of Turkey saw, wow, the God of the Christians must be pretty amazing, because he's allowed this lady already to offer love and forgiveness to the men who killed her husband.
Yeah, and you're right. That's the most powerful thing, because in the Islamic world especially, the word martyr has a much different connotation. And can you explain the difference to the audience about that, exactly what, you know, the two religions would make of that word?
Well, I think the biggest contrast is in terms of how the martyrdom happens. And, you know, Jesus told us, no greater love has a man than to lay down his life for his friends. In the Islamic world, martyrdom is the only way in Islamic teaching to guarantee yourself a ticket to paradise is to die in jihad, to die as a martyr. And so it's not lay down my life, it's I want to get the ticket to paradise. So, and the other contrast is, it's not, you know, somebody else is killing me, it is how many can I take with me? And that's one of the things that, you know, as Westerners and as Christians, it's so hard for us to understand. You know, it's not just that you're laying down your life, that you're crashing a plane into a building, or you're blowing up a church, or you're blowing up something else. It's not that you're the only one that's going to die. You're going to try to kill as many people as possible to show that you're worthy of being called a martyr to the jihad. And so it's a very different mindset of, I lay down my life for my friends, or this is the only way I can be sure I'm going to go to paradise, and I want to take as many people out with me as possible.
And there we have part one of our interview with Todd Nettleton, the Voice of the Martyrs. Welcome back. This is Things Not Seen, here till 11 p.m., now 9:28 Eastern Time, 718-305-7176. We'll get right back to part two of this tremendous interview with Voice of the Martyrs in just a moment. Just have a quick message from Patriot Depot. Now, let's assume that you're listening to conservativenationradio.org. You are a conservative. You love America and our Constitution, just like we do. Since that is the case, you're going to want to Supply Depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers to patriotic T-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all of your conservative revolution needs. So wave your flag, proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives. We'll be right back.
This Valentine's Day, give your special someone a beautiful Swarovski crystal heart made by women who have survived war in South Sudan. These stunning items are available in small, medium, and large sizes and come in crystal, red, pink, and other beautiful colors. And the best part? They're yours starting at just $25 plus shipping. To order yours today, go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com and click on shop. Again, that's goatsfortheoldgoat.com and click on shop.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Indeed, welcome back. Things Not Seen, radio program, now 9:30, 718-305, 7176 is the phone number. Please keep a note of that for later on. And because we are about to enter into part two here of our exclusive extended interview with Voice of the Martyrs, Todd Nettleton. It was recorded during the past week, and so timely and informative, and I hope you are enjoying it so far. So let's get right into part two, Voice of the Martyrs, right here on Things Not Seen.
Our guest today, Todd Nettleton, Director of Media Development for Voice of the Martyrs. You can actually check them out at persecution.com, and that will give you a great overview of what they're all about. Again, Todd, thanks so much for joining us here on Things Not Seen. Very, very appreciative of your time today. I know you folks are very busy. Tell me about the actual operation. How big is it? How many folks do we, you know, are on staff? How many people are out in the field? What do the numbers look like?
Those are good questions. There's about 100 people that work full-time for Voice of the Martyrs. Most of those people are working out of our Bartlesville, Oklahoma, U.S. headquarters. We do have some staff that are stationed at various points around the world, but the vast majority of us are based here in Bartlesville. We have people that travel at any given time. Typically, we will have at least four or five people that are somewhere in the world visiting a restricted nation, visiting the Christians who are there. We also have a great collection of volunteers who come and serve with us. And typically in the course of a year, we will have about 40,000 hours of volunteer time that people will come and serve at Voice of the Martyrs. They'll do anything from stuff envelopes to program our computers, because we really try to tailor their work to what their experience is and what their training is and what they're qualified to do. So we do have paid staff, but then we just appreciate so much the volunteers that come and serve alongside us. As far as internationally, our work, we have projects. Last year we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 900 projects in about 60 countries. And a project for us can be anything from we need to emergency get, you know, $1,000 in to help this family. The husband is a pastor. He just got arrested. We need to help them. That's a project, all the way up to projects which might include thousands of Bibles being printed or being delivered into a country, or even in some cases, we've been involved in some translation projects. We helped translate the study notes for the Life Application Bible into Farsi, which is the language of Iran.
Wow.
So that was a multi-year and tens of thousands of dollars project to get all those translated, you know, the maps, the study notes, all those things translated into Farsi. So all of those would qualify as projects for us. And like I said, last year it was about 900 of those covering Christians in about 60 countries.
That's amazing. I mean, you know, this is the first thing that I noticed about, you know, when you really look into your folks' operation, it's just the massive scale, and so many things are going on. So many people are involved. And like you say, the vast majority of these people are volunteers, and you can definitely see why that is. I mean, the work, at least to me, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I can't really imagine a more important or impactful volunteer effort that you could give than to this. It's to me, it's just such a no-brainer that you know, people are actually go through life and wondering if their money is being well spent, or if their time is, you know, doing the right things or having an impact on folks. This is for sure something that it will pay off for obviously the people who are volunteering and also the people who are being helped, because it's a tremendous help and you get results. Get results all the time.
Yeah, we do. And I think, you know, we work for great people around the world. We work for Christ's body in hostile and restricted places. So it is a a really significant ministry, and it's an honor. It's an honor to be a part of serving the Lord around the world.
Yeah, it's tremendous. What countries are the worst?
That's a hard question to answer, but at the same time, the two that top the list are North Korea and Saudi Arabia. And some years you'll think Saudi Arabia might be worse. Some years you'll think North Korea is worse. But North Korea is the description I like to use is it's a country, it's a prison camp disguised as a country, because it is basically everyone in North Korea is in prison. Everyone is oppressed, but Christians are singled out for the very worst oppression. And part of that is their political system is also a religious system. They have built up this ideology, they call it Juche, that deifies their leaders. They want to present the idea that Kim Jong-il and now Kim Jong-un are divine figures. They're actually gods, sort of gods in human form. And so when a North Korean says, you know what, I actually don't worship Kim Jong-un, I worship Jesus Christ, that's not just a religious issue. It's not just a philosophical issue. It's a political issue. It actually undermines the government there to say that the leader is not actually God, that we shouldn't actually pray to him. We should pray to Jesus. So that's why North Korea is on that list. Saudi Arabia is a country that obviously is the home of Islam. It's the home of Muhammad. And they bill themselves as the guardians of Islam's holy sites. And so they don't want any Christians. They don't want any Christian activity on Saudi soil. They don't even recognize the possibility that a Saudi citizen could be anything other than a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So to be a Christian there is to be arrested, to be prosecuted, persecuted, and quite possibly killed if you say, you know what, I left Islam, I'm now following Jesus Christ. So those two are some of the worst. You know, we also talk about Iran. There is a hugely, fabulously growing church in Iran, but that is producing persecution. It's producing a lot of people who are paying a price for that. There is still persecution in China. You know, we sometimes hear, hey, everything's great in China, the church is fine. There is still persecution in China. So it's hard to make a list and kind of organize it and rate everything. But when you talk about the worst persecutors, you almost always talk about North Korea and Saudi Arabia.
Right. You mentioned Iran. Let's talk about that for a second. Do you know, in the news, obviously, very recently, is Pastor Saeed Abedini, I guess. He is supposedly not in prison anymore, but apparently now he's missing. Do you know anything about this situation?
I do not. Our organization, we did not have any projects working with Pastor Saeed, so all I know about him is what I'm seeing in the media, and the reports are that he had some kind of a trial or a court hearing this week. We believe there's going to be more hearings down the road for that, or at least that's what I've seen reported. So I don't know much about that. I do know about the growth of the church in Iran. And one of the things that is so amazing, and I think it's really a fascinating thing to me at least, is that a part of the reason the church is growing in Iran is because of Islam. It is because the government there is the mullahs. They are the Islamic leaders that actually run the country. And so when there is a failure of the government, or a political failure, or an election is stolen, or even something as simple as the streets aren't paved or repaired, in the minds of the people of Iran, that's Islam, because the leaders are Islamic, the leaders are the mullahs, and the leaders are spouting this this propaganda that, hey, we are the holy people of Islam. We're running our country according to Islamic principles. And so the people see, you know, the election results. They see corruption in the government. And they say, Islam doesn't work. Islam's not working. What's going on? That is making them hungry to hear about other options. And obviously, Jesus is another option. And so the church there is growing so fast. It is amazing. And one of our contacts in Iran, I spoke with him a couple of years ago. He said, if you'll share the gospel with 10 Iranians, 5 of them will pray to receive Christ right then, right when you talk to them.
Hmm.
That's how hungry, that's how open they are to the gospel. Now, some of that has changed a little bit in terms of the security situation. Since the election of 2009, there has been a dramatic tightening of security. There are many more arrests, many more house church raids, and so the people are more hesitant, not necessarily less hungry, but they're more hesitant to strike up a conversation about faith or about religion or about anything controversial because they feel like right now the government is watching.
Do you take that as a sign of something positive, like the government may be close to falling, or is this the most dangerous point where you dare not say anything at all?
That's a hard, but I have, I've heard reports. I've been at Voice of the Martyrs 15 years, and I've heard things all 15 of those years. You know, the government of Iran is close to falling. There's people that are very upset about the government. They could be, the students are doing this, and I don't know. I think that's a very hard thing to predict. There is a great deal of discontent with the government in Iran. There is a great deal of discontent with Islam, because in their mind, Islam and the government are one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see social problems, you see drug addiction, you see prostitution, you see thousands of people coming to follow Jesus Christ. Those are sort of, I think, windows into what's going on in Iran. I don't know what that means politically. I don't know if that means the government is about to fall. I know the government is very concerned about that. They have said, the supreme leader has said publicly, that the house churches in Iran are one of the greatest threats to the nation. In his mind, the house churches could undermine the government to the point that the entire nation would be turned over. So, it's hard to say what's going to happen. And we know there are supposed to be another president elected in 2013. That process, we'll just see. We'll see how that works. We'll see if it's a free and fair election. We'll see what happens. But I know there is a lot of discontent with the government. I don't know what that's going to mean politically for Iran in the coming year.
Yeah, sorry. I'm good at tough questions. Yeah. Yeah, it's got to make you feel good though, as if you're there to hear that, these house churches, these little private things you think isn't doing much is really about to maybe take the foundation off of the whole system of government there. That's got to make people emboldened.
It's encouraging, and it's very interesting too. When a government leader says the biggest threat to our country is the house church,
yeah.
And I've met some of these house church Christians, they said they don't really care about politics. They care about serving the Lord. They care about doing his will. And so to hear that they're the biggest threat, I'm sure would sort of make them chuckle. But the other thing that we're seeing in Iran, and these kind of go hand in hand, is we are seeing the public prosecution and persecution of Christians. 5 years ago, you might get a house church that was raided, but it was all really hush-hush. There wasn't a big hullabaloo about it. It was just, the house church got raided, some people got arrested, they take into custody. Now, when they go and do a house church raid, it's on the national news in Iran. They're saying, we went into the house, we got these, they call them Christian Zionists.
Mm.
We arrested them, we took them to jail, we're taking care of this problem. So they have seen it. They believe it's a threat enough that they are making it a public issue as opposed to a private one. And they really want to create fear in the minds of the people so that if a Christian approaches them, they'll be like, whoa, I don't want anything to do with you. I saw those guys got arrested last week. I don't want to, I'm not coming to your house church. So they're trying to do it in a very more open public way than they did, like I say, even 5 years ago.
Mm.
And we have one more segment of that interview left. Welcome back. This is Things Not Seen. Manti, your host, 9:44 p.m. on the East Coast, 718-305-7176. I'll be happy to take your calls after 10 o'clock. We've got one more segment of this interview to go. And just wanted to let you know about another show here on conservativenationradio.org. We're proud to welcome former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee to the Sound of Freedom with Hig and Resch, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Carl is the well-known author of Battle on the Home Front, great book, and an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. I guess nobody told these guys in the White House not to mess around with Navy SEALs, huh? Carl Higbee is a real patriot who's talked the talk and walked the walk. So listen to The Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And we'll be back at the end of the interview right after this.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hi, this is Frank Beard of ZZ Top for Rad. If you're out partying and drinking, and we all know that happens sometimes, please don't get behind the wheel. Give up the keys to a designated driver. Please don't drink and drive.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Indeed, welcome back. Things Not Seen. Manti is here. And I'll get to your calls if you'd like to call in about 15 minutes, 718-305-7176. I'm here every Friday with you from 9 to 11. So thanks for joining me, whether it be live or on podcast. After the fact, no matter. I appreciate you very, very much. And again, we're in the middle of an interview here, an extended one with Voice of the Martyrs, the third and final segment I want to play for you now. And we can go over what we heard. Okay, kids. So part three, Voice of the Martyrs interview. To wrap it up, hope you enjoy it.
Again, we're speaking with Tom Nettleton, Voice of the Martyrs, Director of Media Development. So happy to have him here on Things Not Seen. Just a few minutes left, Todd. All of a sudden, the time is gone. Again, sincerely appreciate your time here. What if people are interested in helping, what can they do?
The first thing that our brothers and sisters ask us to do is to pray for them. And it's the most important thing that you can do is to pray. Their request, though, and I think it's important to understand this, they're not saying, you know, pray that the persecution will stop. Pray that God will make our government fall, our country free, help us to be not persecuted. What they're asking us to pray for is that they will be faithful in spite of the persecution, that they will be faithful to Christ no matter what it costs them. And, you know, that's a great prayer for the persecuted church. That's a great prayer for us, too. Pray that I'll be faithful in spite of whatever comes my way. So the first thing is to pray. The second thing then is educate yourself, because, you know, how are you going to pray? Who are you praying for? What countries? What people? So educate yourself to know how to pray effectively. And one of the great tools for that is the Voice of the Martyrs newsletter. We send this out free. Any Christian in America that wants to receive it, we will send it to you free of charge. We want you to have the information. We want you to be able to pray effectively. So start out by praying. Then educate yourself so you can pray more effectively. And then I always tell people the third step is whatever God asks you to do. And as you know more and as you're praying, God's going to lay on your heart a way to respond. And maybe it's write letters to Christians who are in prison. We have a website at prisoneralert.com that equips you to write letters to Christians in prison. It even translates them into the language of the prisoner. Maybe he's going to have you write letters. Maybe he's going to have you donate some funds or make a parachute to drop Bibles and Christian radios into Colombia, into communist-controlled areas in Colombia. Maybe he's going to put you on a plane with a suitcase full of Bibles and send you to China or send you to some other country. But that will come once you are praying and once you're educating yourself and learning about the persecuted church. Then God will open some doors for you to respond. And at that point, it's up to you. You have to say, okay, the Lord's asking me to do this. Am I going to do it or am I going to be disobedient? Those are the two choices. And that will come out of your prayer and out of your learning about the persecuted church.
Right. And that's, I'm sorry, one of the most emotional moments of my adult life. I went to a conference last year for the region here, I forget what they call the Northeast. It was in near Philadelphia for you folks. And there was a video near the end. And it sounds so benign, but all it was a delivery of Bibles to, I'm not sure if it was China or not, somewhere in the area. And these people broke down in tears just because they got to have their own Bible and to feel so close to God. And you could tell it was like Christmas morning times 1,000. They were just so thankful and, you know, genuinely happy and you know, tearfully, celebrating that fact. And just a tremendous thing to witness, and it will motivate you for sure. Are there any, I see one or two popping up. Is there a full slate of conferences planned for this year?
There are. All across the country, we have regional conferences, and this year there may be as many as 40 of them. So
Great. Literally
every part of the country, a church, if you have a church that would like to host one of these conferences, call us. We can help out, and you can help do that. But I still agree with you. If you get a chance to go to one of our conferences, this is what I tell people. If you want to go to a house church service, but you can't get on a plane and go to China or go to Iran, go to a BOM conference. Because I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but the same spirit is there. There's that spirit of brotherhood and that spirit of fellowship. And the Lord shows up. And so you get to spend time with brothers and sisters, and you get to spend time with the Lord. And your heart will be touched, because when you hear these stories, when you meet people who lived in these countries who faced persecution, it really does affect your heart. And you will walk out of there different from how you walked in.
No doubt about it. I can witness to that myself. It's absolutely true. And I encourage, you know, every listener that's hearing us right now to please do so. Please go to persecution.com and sign up. Again, the newsletter is free. I mean, you can't do any better than that, right? Then you'll be up to date. You'll find out what's going on around you and see what God has for you to do. And that's really what it's all about here. So, Todd, I really, really appreciate you joining us. I know that the folks have enjoyed listening to us. And if there's anything that you wanted to just, you know, make sure that they know here before we end our talk, please do so.
I think you've hit it hard. Just go to persecution.com, begin to learn more about the persecuted church. It will affect you. You know, I don't want it to sound like a warning, but it is going to affect you. You need to be prepared for that. And it's going to challenge your faith. You're going to have to make some decisions, and you're going to have to think about, okay, well, what does this mean to me? How does this affect how I serve the Lord? How does it affect how I read my Bible? But those are good things. Those are good challenges, and I think you'll find, as I have found, as I encounter persecuted Christians, as I see the joy that they get in serving the Lord, it challenges my own faith, and it forces me to think more deeply, to worship more deeply, and to follow Christ with more of an open heart for what he wants to do.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that the Holy Spirit has blessed your ministry in 1,000 different ways. And I just pray that it continues and grows greater, and we continue to wake up the church here at home so we can help our brothers.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great day. Okay, and thanks so much. And you're welcome back anytime. Drop me a note or give us a call here. We'd be happy to help you out in whatever you need. Todd Nelton.
Right, that's great. I appreciate that.
Todd Nelton, everyone, Voice of the Martyrs, and we'll be right back on Things Not Seen. And you are back on Things Not Seen. I hope you enjoyed that. I certainly really enjoyed bringing it to you and conducting the interview with Todd. And, again, just such a wonderful organization. I can't even begin to describe it because it's so dangerous, basically. These folks are going into these countries, and it's not a cakewalk. It's not an easy mission to fulfill. And you get a lot of resistance. I mean, you know, we here are not used to that type of thing. So what I wanted to do, just to dovetail on that, number one, you heard somewhere in the middle of that, you've heard I asked Mr. Nettleton about this Pastor Saeed, who's actually an American citizen now, but he went, if you don't know the story, he lives in Idaho, but he's an Iranian by birth, and he would travel back periodically and try to establish an orphanage or a series of orphanages there or something to help kids. And so the Iranians arrested him a couple weeks ago. And
Nobody knew why. Nobody heard any charges, anything like that. And then last week, when during this interview, I asked him, the only update was now he disappeared. And there was some rumor that he was had been released, but his wife says he's not released. I don't have him. The lawyers here are like, we don't know where he is. Turns out he went to their worst possible court, and to his big crime, and he was convicted of this, I think it was 10, 12, 13 years ago when he first converted to Christianity. This is his crime. Not spying, not, you know, none of this junk they usually come up with, CIA agent or some crap. But you dared to leave Islam and you're a Christian and you try to evangelize, you try to make other Iranians into Christians. This is his sin. This is his crime. And for that, memory serves now, he's sentenced to 8 years in an Iranian prison. This is reality, folks. This is what our brethren across the world have to deal with. And I just want you to know. What I do want to do right now is actually read a letter I just received from Voice of the Martyrs this week, or actually 2 days ago. And this is free to you. Again, you heard this in the interview. There's no cost. If you go to persecution.com and sign up, they'll send you a huge, glossy, professional newsletter. I mean, this is not some thing they staple together that you see sometimes from charities. This is professional magazine quality stuff with just chock full of information, stories from real people that month somewhere in the world, and how Voice of the Martyrs needs you to step up in some way. So let me just read this letter if I could. Dear friends, the stories in this month's newsletter will be challenging to read, but be assured that we are helping the affected families in every way we can as God leads. Our worldwide network of contacts enables us to send immediate physical and spiritual assistance to our persecuted brothers and sisters who face situations like these. In addition to providing immediate assistance, we often provide assistance over longer periods of time. For example, some believers injured in attacks may need ongoing medical attention, including multiple surgeries, or may need to be fitted with prosthetics. Orphan children need care and proper education. Some orphans have been sent to Bible school to continue the work of their martyred parents. Safe houses are needed for families under extreme risk who need to be relocated. The widows of Christian martyrs need job training or new ministry skills. We are committed to helping them provide for their families and continue their ministry. This help comes from our Families of Martyrs Fund. As we move further into the new year, we continue to seek God's direction on how we can best serve those who suffer for their faith and Christian witness. Your ongoing prayers and gifts allow us to stand with the persecuted Christian families, letting them know that they are not forgotten. I would appreciate hearing from you. How is God speaking to you and your family as you continue to fellowship with today's persecuted church? How have the stories in our monthly newsletter challenged your faith? You can send a note in the envelope included with this month's newsletter. Thank you for standing with our persecuted family in Christ. So that's where the rubber meets the road, in my opinion. When they say your faith will be challenged, basically, you know, you'll be reading and hearing and experiencing these stories, and you'll get a feeling in your gut, in your heart that says, "What? Why aren't you doing something about this? Why aren't you helping?" Maybe that's what it'll say to you, right? I don't know. But it's important for me to broadcast this effort at the our family's in trouble. Maybe they need help. A lot of help, but we can do it, and prayer is the first way to address that. So I hope you will do that if you believe. So thank you for that, and the first hour of Things Not Seen has come to an end. My phone number, of course, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. 76conservativenationradio.org. Please go there at your leisure and listen to our shows all week. So I appreciate you hanging with me another hour here till 11 o'clock, and we'll be back very soon.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Hig and Resch sent you. Thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Things Not Seen radio program. I'm Christopher Manta, your host. Second hour here of the show. I hope you're enjoying it so far. Please give me a call, 718-305-71767, 1-8305-7176. Be here for another hour for you. And appreciate you very much, either live or on podcast. Very good. Very good of you. You will be rewarded somehow, I think. I can't promise that. I'm just saying. Probably you will. Speaking of our website, please, please go and tell your friends to go conservativenationradio.org, or at least go to Facebook/conservativenationradio. Keep up with what's going on, our hosts, our shows, breaking updates. The guests that we get are truly phenomenal. My show is, you know, kind of lagging. In that department, we've got fantastic guests, national figures, and you know, movers and shakers on all our programs, Sunday through Friday. So please listen in. All you have to do is go there, conservativenationradio.org, click on the Listen Live tab, and if someone's on the air, boom, you're listening right then and there. Or you could also see the whole schedule and the shows that are coming up and what's going on in those shows and listen to previous shows. So anytime you want, it's there. No waiting, you know. You don't have to wait till 9 o'clock on Friday nights to hear me. You can listen to previous broadcasts anytime, because I know that's what you're going to want to do. Also, please remember traditionalamericanmovement.com, our partners, great, great site. We can meet like-minded folks, post to your heart's content, and, you know, really do something. And, of course, Twitter is always available, at CNR Show. It's our official one. You can hashtag it, CNR Show, and Things Not Seen for me. So I'd appreciate you very much if you did that. Go to Conservative Nation Radio, bookmark it, homepage it, whatever you have to do, okay? That's your mission. And so we roll on here in the second hour. I wanted to discuss a couple things here first in the first segment, just a couple of news items. Mississippi, and of course, you know I'm a proud abolitionist. When it comes to abortion, I think it should be outlawed immediately. I think it should go away, the slavery. I think we should have a constitutional amendment against it, preventing it for all times. Fortunately, we're not even close to that. But some states are getting really close to it within their own borders. And Mississippi is right there. They have one left. And it's been ordered to close. So let's praise God about this one. Let me just read it real quick. Jackson, Mississippi. Dated today. Mississippi's last abortion center may be forced to close within the month due to new state safety laws, which they failed to comply with. But that didn't stop them from giving themselves a bright new paint job. That's right. They painted their building pink. Oh, pink. Jackson's Women's Health Organization over the weekend painted their building a shockingly bright shade of pink. The woman who owns the facility said it was an act of protest. Yes, yes, we want to kill here. Therefore, we are pink. Makes sense to me. It's a woman's color, facility owner Diane Derzis told the Clarion Ledger, referring to women's issues such as breast cancer and domestic violence. That use the color in their awareness campaigns. It says, we are here, we're not going anywhere. Really? You know, if you have breast cancer or you're a victim of domestic violence, you're going to Planned Parenthood, give me a break. Give me a break. Nobody believes you. You're liars. Meanwhile, clinic director Shannon Brewer denied that the color choice was political. Oh, I love it. I don't think the owner so much thought it was a statement about women, but it could be considered that, I guess. She just wanted to go along. She just wanted to go along with the bright colors in the area. This is our district, and a lot of the houses and businesses are painted different colors. She said, so why not make it blend in? Oh, my gosh, this is fantastic. Yes, yes, yes. I can't believe how good that was. Tremendous. Okay, well, regardless of motivation, the color changes came days after the health department workers inspected the clinic to determine whether it was compliant with a new state law requiring anyone doing abortions to be an OBGYN with privileges to admit patients to the hospital. Every hospital in the area has rejected the abortionist application for admitting privileges, calling their work inconsistent with their mission as hospitals. The State Department of Health sent the clinic a letter on Monday stating its intent to revoke the clinic's license for noncompliance with the law. However, the facility will remain open while it awaits a hearing by the department. Please, Lord, close that thing down. Let it be the first state abortion-free. That is awesome. Also, on another note, you probably heard about this quote unquote clarification or compromise. I don't know what they're deeming it, this HHS mandate. That's not really a mandate if you're a certain type of or religious organization. I don't know what this is about. Again, this is just happening today. February 1st. If the Obama administration hoped the battle over HHS birth control mandate would end with the release of today's revised regulations, it was wrong. Legal analysts with religious organizations are still working through the revised regulations, which purport to offer a broader opt-out for religious employers to determine whether protections offered are as meaningful or merely an accounting gimmick. Here's some quotes about it. Today's proposed rule does nothing to protect the religious liberty of millions of Americans, said Kyle Duncan, general counsel of the Beckett Fund, a conservative legal organization representing several groups, including Hobby Lobby. Folks, you probably know what Hobby Lobby is. They're a big chain, and the owners are protesting, saying they don't have to comply either because they have morals just like a Catholic organization, hospital, or anything else. Duh. The rights of the family business like Hobby Lobby are still being violated, said Duncan, adding that lawyers with his group are still studying what effect the rules will have over nonprofits such as Ave Maria University and EWTN. Once again, President Obama's so-called compromise is unacceptable. Religious and moral freedom is not up for negotiation, said Susan B. Anthony, List President Marjorie Dannenfelser. I mean, geez Louise, this is just not going to end, and I hope that everyone is going to stand up and fight this. We must push back as Christians, or we will be rolled over. It's really no more difficult than that. However, the problem is there are groups that claim to be Catholic and Christian organizations that agree with the administration on this and say, oh, this is great. As long as that is out there, we're in for a tough fight, folks. If we can't agree on this, just pack it in. We just get our slavery cards out now. It's not good. Not good. But the encouraging thing is a lot of folks from different quarters are seeing right through this and really starting to fight it. And I don't know if it's just one bishop or a group of bishops came out this week and said they were willing to go to prison over this. Thank God. You know, more power to you, sir. Anyway, just wanted to bring that up. And of course, this is going to be an issue for a long time and a long fight. In conclusion here, the article, our founding fathers understood that religious liberty and free speech should extend to everyone, not just certain groups deemed acceptable by the president and his administration. Amen to that. That's the bottom line. Let me tell you a little bit about TRAD, Traditional American Movement. Now, the leftist media would like conservatives like us to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness, but don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we call our home. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars. Big, big deal there. And find out what's new in the conservative community. So join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. TRADAM is a liberal-free website. And we'll be back right after this.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear. And another big ear, they looped-a-looped. made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Indeed, welcome back. Things Not Seen. My phone number is 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. Please feel free to call me. Lines are open and available. That's me. Open and available. Please let me know what you want to talk about. Because I got plenty of stuff, man. I can go on forever. Until my body gives out, which will not happen. I've changed it. One other thing I wanted to mention that happened the past day or two here is this. The Senate, common sense has apparently gone completely, as if it, I don't know why I thought it hadn't, but it's definitely out of here. Rand Paul, of course, you know, supporting him for president, I'm a huge fan, but he came up with the most commonsensical, non-controversial, I can't believe you didn't get 100 votes on this, amendment
on a bill. Not even a bill itself.
Just part of one. That rejected Paul's amendment, Senator Paul, to prevent arms sales to Egypt. This is why did this happen? 79-19 lost. 79-19. He couldn't even get anything close to a party line on this. Right? How many R's are in the Senate again? 49. So 30-19 voted against it. I mean, it's beyond ridiculous. I don't even know what the motivation is. This is a killer. This is an amendment to the debt limit bill. Paul Amendment would have prohibited U.S. government from selling F-16 jet fighters and M1A1 tanks and similar military weapons to Egyptian government. Duh. I mean, I don't get it. Prior to the vote, Senator Paul took to the floor to explain his bill. It began by questioning the wisdom of sending our most sophisticated fighter planes to a country whose government is believed by many to be in danger of unraveling. Or worse, even worse than unraveling, that it's solid and growing in power. I mean, some of us who knew the Muslim Brotherhood knew this was going to happen. It's just not a good situation, to put it lightly. But he's right. You can't. Why are you doing this? What do they need him for? Saudi Arabia going to attack them? Libya? Or what do they need jets for? New ones. Okay, they already have a lot, a heck of a lot from us already. This is one of the main problems. And it kind of goes right to the, of course, Senator Paul would agree with me on this, but Dick Morris has been saying this forever, is foreign aid. And it's not just military aid, but billions and billions and billions of dollars to every country. I mean, there has to be 100 countries that we send foreign aid to. For what? As if we could afford it, number one. Can't. But what is the point? And we're trying to bribe people not to hate us, buy our stuff. You know, these aren't private. You know, this isn't McDonald's going overseas and trying to make an honest buck. I'm down with that. This is taxpayer money and military equipment for no other purpose to other than to strike our own interests, right? It's not like Egypt is going to all of a sudden turn around and bomb the Syrians. So, yeah, not making sense at all. Incredibly annoying. And if this can't, I mean, this is such a limited, a no-brainer that you, no one would disagree with this, right? Who thinks the Egyptians should have this stuff? But it didn't work. So the common sense is dead in the Senate. Not sure exactly, but this part of the world is lighten up. It's lighten up, but that's okay. Okay, the yes, it's annoying, it's scary, but it's supposed to happen. I want to do a little Bible study here, if I could, real fast. There's a part in Isaiah in the Old Testament that has never been fulfilled. There's a lot of parts, but Isaiah 17 says, "The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap." It's never happened. There's no historical precedent for that. No other alien force, foreign invader, kingdom has turned Damascus into a ruinous heap. It's the, I believe its claim on it is the longest continuously standing city in the world. Or if it's not the longest, it's up, it's right up there. It's a very, very old city. And it's never been taken away from being what has never been a ruinous heap. So that's got to happen still. Question is how? Isaiah 17 is very short. I'll read it to you. I just read verse 1. 2, it says, "The cities of Aor are forsaken, for they shall be flocks, which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid." We'll go into this more in a later show. But "the fortress shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom of Damascus and the remnant of Syria, they will be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts." The fortress shall cease from Israel. Good stuff here. Point is, change is coming. "And in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean." Now this one verse all in itself is a study. What's the glory of Jacob? And he'll be made thin in this day. If you know who Jacob is today, what nations comprise Jacob, it's very interesting indeed to go along with this destruction of Damascus. "And it shall be when the harvestman gathereth the corn and reapeth the ears with his arm, it shall be as he that gathereth the ears in the valley of Rephaim." Rephaim is an interesting word also. "Yet gleaning grape shall be left off it as the shaking of an olive tree, 2 or 3 berries in the top of the uppermost bough, 4 or 5 in the outmost fruitful branches thereof, saith the Lord God of Israel." So it won't be completely taken away. There's some good stuff here. "And in that day, a man look to his master, and his eyes shall have respect for the Holy One of Israel." Well, it's certainly not happening right now. "He shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall he respect which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. In that day shall his strong cities be as a forsaken bough, and the uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation." Keyword, desolation. You may remember abomination of desolation in the New Testament and book of Daniel. That's what we're talking about. "Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation." By the way, what does Jesus mean? Yahweh, Savior. The salvation of God. "You have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants and shed it with strange slips. In that day you shall make thy plant to grow. In the morning thou shalt make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief, desperate sorrow." Again, got some imagery about a harvest. Jesus would say the harvest is at the end of the world. Woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like a noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of many waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. Behold, at evening tide, trouble, before the morning is not, he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us. This is serious stuff, folks. That's the end of the chapter. Got to pay attention. So, Damascus is in trouble. And there's also a little tidbit, if you'll remember this week after Israel bombed, that whatever it was in Syria, whether it be a convoy or a chemical weapons plant, wherever the heck that was, probably never find out. But they were, of course, up in arms in Syria. But next ones to rush into it was Russia, saying, you can't do this. This is unbelievable. It's what's an attack on sovereignty. Yeah, no, 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 no. Curious, don't you think, that Russia would always leap into this? Well, not really, if you know your Bible, because in Jeremiah chapter 49, again, we're talking about Damascus and their pals. 49:7 says, concerning Edom. Okay, now, Edom is what the name of Esau was changed to. Esau, it was Jacob's brother. Edom means red. Concerning Edom, the red, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? This is talking about the Russians, okay, folks? Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him. That doesn't sound good. Again, you have to know who these peoples are that God is talking about. If grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some gleaning grapes? If thieves by night, they will destroy till they have enough. But I have made Esau, Russia, bare. I have uncovered his secret places, and he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, his brethren and his neighbors, and he is not. Leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me. For thus saith the Lord, behold, they whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunken. And art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt utterly drink of it. For I have sworn by myself, saith the Lord, that Bozrah, that's in Iraq, shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste, and a curse, and all the cities thereof shall be perpetual wastes. I have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent to the heathen, saying, gather ye together and come against her and rise up to the battle. For lo, I will make thee small among the heathen and despised among men. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thy heart, O, that thou dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle. And I will bring you down from thence, saith the Lord. And Edom shall be a desolation. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. It's a pretty serious stuff, right? Well, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong, but I will suddenly make him run away from her. Who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who is will appoint me at the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? And now we're getting to the nitty-gritty here. Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord, that he that hath taken against Edom and his purposes, that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their inhabitants desolate with them. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall, and the cry, the noise thereof, was heard in the Red Sea. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle, and spread his wings over Basra. And at that day shall the heart of the mighty men of Edom be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. I should bring you to the book of Matthew, where Jesus talks about the birth pangs. Concerning Damascus, Hamath is confounded, and Arpad, they have heard evil tidings. They are faint-hearted, and there is sorrow on the sea. It cannot be quiet. Damascus is waxed feeble, and turneth herself to flee, and fear hath seized on her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her as a woman in travail. How is the city of praise not left, the city of my joy? Therefore her young men shall fall in the streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad. That serious stuff. That serious stuff. Point is, Russia is helping Damascus for a reason. And it's not a good reason, but it has to happen. So, hope you got a little bit out of that. And we'll be back right here to Things Not Seen in just a moment.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Chris, I can't hear you.
Well, that's good. Thank you. I appreciate that. I just did a whole segment here on mute. That's tremendous. Well, I'm not going to make up an excuse here. I apologize, folks, for the last couple of minutes. My bad. Nothing went wrong. I just didn't hit the button. Okay. So when let's recap, okay? We were talking about Bible stuff a little bit ago. And I won't rehash all that. And then I started talking about Star Wars and how I was a fan of all the movies and the old ones and the new ones. And I'm psyched that they're going to be an episode 7 and J.J. Abrams is going to be directing, and that's cool because I love his the Star Trek movie that he just did and the new one that's coming out. Oh, my gosh. Oh, these things happen, right? That's cool. No worries. So it's time for a break, a real one. And maybe I'll go and recap all that I missed there. So remember, I'm not the only show on the air. The other folks are just professional as I am. So remember, conservativenationradio.org is now in the air at the same time, Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. But like the true anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher are still here with Soldiers of Patriotism Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. So don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Now, that having been said, even the most sturdy among us need an occasional breather. So Michael and Bing pulled rank and got this Sunday off. But rest assured, they'll be back next Sunday. But if you're having Soldiers of Patriotism withdrawal, just go to conservativenationradio.org and you can download podcasts to your heart's content. Remember, real conservatism for real conservatives. That is our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Michael and Uncle Bing. Tremendous program. If you've never heard it before, please, please do tune in. Next Sunday, 4 p.m. This Sunday will just be repeats. All righty. So I appreciate you doing that. Real quick, again, just getting into Star Wars. I like all the movies. I think I'm probably the only person or a severe minority of folks who like all 6 Star Wars movies, the old and the new versions, the prequels and the originals. And I was a small child. I was 7 years old. One of my first movies I ever went to see was 1983, May, Return of the Jedi. So I was 7 at that point, and ever since, I always loved it as a kid, and then I just realized they're all basically kids' movies. So as long as you understand that going in, not a problem. You're not going to expect some masterpiece or cinematic legend on your screen. You're just going to enjoy it for what it is, and that's awesome, awesome sci-fi action-adventure stuff, and I'm super excited that there's going to be new Star Wars, 3 new movies. And the first one has J.J. Abrams as the controls as director, which is super cool because he makes great movies and good first seasons of TV shows before he leaves and goes on to something else. But thankfully, the movies are only a couple months worth of work and he's out. So that's good. Star Wars 7, tentatively scheduled for May 2015. So if we're lucky enough to get there as a world, I'm very much looking forward to going to see that with my boys. And, who knows what it'll be about. I mean, it's called Episode 7, so you got to think it's takes place after the Death Star blows up and after Luke and Leia and Han and all those dudes. Maybe they'll be back as old people. Who knows? That might be fun. But anyway, I don't really care what it's about. I'm going to see it and probably going to like it and probably going to love it, even though I'll be, oh my gosh, 40 years old, 39, when that would hypothetically come out. Whatever, don't care. So that should be interesting. Let me tell you about LifeLock. Such an important thing is security, securing your identity. And conservativenationradio.org is very proud to be associated with this most effective identity security and credit monitoring service that there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Just click on the banner and you'll go right there. That's conservativenationradio.org. Click on the LifeLock banner. Okay? It's be well worth your time. I highly recommend it. And we'll be back right after this.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host,
Manti.
Welcome back. Things Not Seen, the final segment all of a sudden. Oh boy, 47 minutes after the hour. Another 12 minutes or so, I'm with you. Things Not Seen, 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176 is my phone number and phone number for all our shows, as a matter of fact. So if you just write that down, you can call any of us all week long. Any show that we've got, you can get on the air live with that. Come to our chat room as well. If you go to conservativenationradio.org and hit the tab that says Listen Live, boom, you're here. And you can chat or Twitter or talk to us live. So welcome, and appreciate you being here for myself and anyone else that you care to listen to. So wrapping up my little Star Wars fanboyness there. I'm excited for the new movie, okay? That's it. That's all you need to know. So as we wrap the show up here, of course, Super Bowl's coming up Sunday. Maybe nobody cares about it. I care about it, so I'll mention it. It's a prediction time. I think I mentioned last week that it be very close game, very evenly matched teams. Either could win. Not be surprised at all if Baltimore wins, but I'm giving the slight edge to the 49ers because of the coach, John Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh. Even I don't know. Jim. Yeah. I think he's a phenomenal coach. And quarterback Kaepernick is an extra dimension of scrambling ability that could really pull it out in the end. So let's go to score prediction. Let's give the 49ers 20 – I want to say 31, but Baltimore's defense is probably too good for that. Nah, let's go to 31-24 Niners. Okay, write it down. 31-24 Super Bowl. And it'll be cool to see the 49ers win Super Bowl again, which is hasn't happened since Return of the Jedi, practically. It's been a while. So anyway, now I'm depressed because my team isn't in it. Anywho, again, our slate of shows is second to none here on conservativenationradio.org. And as a matter of fact, right now we're going to go to someone who I can't hold a candle to, my former co-host, Mr. Duke Brooks. How are you,
Mr. Christopher Manti, how are you this evening, my good friend?
I'm fantastic. I'm about to knock back a couple cold ones if you let me off the air. Is that all right?
You know, speaking of cold, do you know how cold it is outside right now?
Yes. As a matter of fact, my toes tell me because I have my super warm socks on and slippers.
All right, Christopher, let me repeat the question.
Okay.
Do you know how cold it is?
How cold is it?
It is colder than the shady side of a banker's heart. And let me tell you something, that is cold, baby. 23 degrees in Lewis, Delaware on the Atlantic coast right now. 23,
wow.
Very cold. Now, speaking of radio programs, I will be bringing Radio Free America into the hearts and minds of conservativenationradio.org listeners on Monday night. And normally I'd be calling in on Sunday to mention the program to Michael and Bing, but as you mentioned, they, being the top guys here at conservativenationradio.org, they're taking the day off tomorrow, so what are you going to do? However, I do have a couple of interesting things coming up on Monday night. One of them is that my friend Kevin Whiteman is going to be joining us every Monday night for a segment called Religion of Peace Update. in which he is going to detail a couple of the more absurd, outrageous operations of Mohammedanism and Sharia law all over the world. You know, when they do things like kill their own daughters because she listened to the Beatles or something. It's enlightening and very interesting. So that will be one segment that we hope to have every week on Radio Free America. Two guests. One of them is a gentleman named Michael Hintz, who is from Milwaukee and who is the leader of the Tea Party in Wisconsin. So Michael always has interesting things to say. He and you and I have a mutual friend by the name of Kevin Wade.
Mm-hmm.
That's all, Michael. And speaking of Kevin Wade, we're going to be hearing Common Sense from Kevin Wade on Monday night, as we always do. And we have a very special guest. You know, we talk about our legislators and our elected officials a lot, and mostly from a sense of derision, which many of them so richly and well deserve. But I've got a friend whose name is Keith Smith. Keith has just been elected and has just taken office as a Delaware state representative in Delaware. And he is going to speak with us from the perspective of what it is like to be a freshman, elected legislator, and all the different strange, weird, wild things that go on up there in Delaware and undoubtedly on state legislatures all over the country. So I hope everybody can join me 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, Monday night for Radio Free America. Back to you, Christopher.
Excellent, sir. That sounds fantastic. I will do my best to participate, and you would do the same, dear listener. You'd be well to tune in, too, because he knows this stuff most of the time, and he's pretty funny. So please tune in.
What's on every?
Well, maybe in your case. Yeah. Very good,
great,
sir. Thanks for checking in. Have a great night, okay?
Great talking to you. See you soon.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Duke Brooks, everyone. Radio Free America, Monday night. Please, please, please tune in. It'll be well worth your while. He's a true pro. And won't go on mute for extended periods. Promise you that. So, please, he's just the start of the week. And hope you're listening every day and spread the word. Social media, big part of what we do here. Please go like our Facebook page at Conservative Nation Radio. And I also just set up a page for us at the thing you may have heard something about. It's called TeaPartyCommunity.com, which is the being billed as the alternative, sort of alternative to Facebook. And it's really quite cool. The programmers wrote it to mimic Facebook exactly. So it's very intuitive if you're a Facebooker to sign up and use it, only it's not run by leftists. So thank God for that. You could find us there. That's my point. And Conservative Nation Radio is the title of that page there, too. So wherever you go, Conservative Nation Radio is the phrase to know. Okay. So we approach another end of another program here, Things Not Seen. Again, the phone number for myself and any one of our other shows is 718-305-7176. Memorize it, lock it down, write it down. And be glad to hear from you, one and all. Again, my show is truly free form. Anything you can think of to call on, please do so. Or if you want to actually stick with my topics, that would be great too. Not a huge deal, though. Anything you want. If you're rude, I'll dispatch you. No problem. About 3 minutes left, and I'm out. The only other thing I wanted to touch on was, if you folks like movies, Zero Dark Thirty is out. Now, I haven't seen it. I should be seeing it this week sometime. Maybe by next Friday I'll give you a review. I wasn't going to see it because I figured it was too politicized and very pro-Obama or what have you. Doesn't seem like it is. And, it's kind of boring in the beginning, I hear, but the end is phenomenal. So, of course, we get the big baddie, which is great. I may just have to see that. Some other things I'm looking forward to is it's called Jack the Giant Slayer on March 1st, which is basically Jack and the Beanstalk with what's his face? Ewan McGregor as the star, and it looks really funny and wicked cool. That should be neat. And the one I'm really looking forward to this year, really, is the Wizard of Oz prequel, believe it or not. It's called Oz the Great and Terrible, is it? No, Oz the Wonderful and Wise. What the heck is it? The Oz movie, okay? March the 8th. Please go see that if you can. I see Oz the Great and Powerful. That's it. I'm very much looking forward to this. It looks totally rad. And I'll be going myself if I have to. That's true. I will. I have done it before, and I will do it again. Darn it. Darn it all. But look, in seriousness, it looks very cool. And I love The Wizard of Oz, the original, one of my favorite movies ever, except for the singing in it. It's the only drawback. In fact, it might be the greatest movie of all time if it wasn't for that dang singing. Hate musicals. Anyway, I got to get out of here, folks. So I appreciate you very, very much for joining us. This is Things Not Seen. And I am out. I'll see you next week at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. Remember, you have a choice who you will serve. Please be good. Take care of each other. Bye, guys. Now,